From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns brings the next portion of a message called The Changing of the Guard, detailing the basic teachings of Paul's second epistle to Timothy. The apostle was on the verge of death, and he recognized the need for a new generation of preachers to be raised up of God and to carry on the work of the gospel. This need is urgent because of the perilous times of rampant apostasy. The faithful men of the older generation are passing off the scene, and the times require young men of the apostolic mold who will guard the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Then Paul emphasized the solemn duty of faithful ministers. They must be men who have a personal experience of Jesus Christ, who have a proven experience of God's grace in their lives. They must preach God's word, expounding the scriptures with the confidence that this is the truth of God, not altering it to suit their own ideas. Dr. Cairns will continue this message in just a few minutes. Before he comes, we invite you to enjoy this brief devotional thought found in Faith's Checkbook, a collection from the writings of the great 19th century English preacher Charles Haddon Spurgeon. Our devotional for today is called God Himself Shall Work. The text is Isaiah chapter 33 and verse 10. Now will I rise, saith the Lord. Now will I be exalted. Now will I lift up myself. When the spoilers had made the land as waste as if devoured by locusts, and the warriors who had defended the country sat down and wept like women, then the Lord came to the rescue. When travelers ceased from the roads to Zion, and Bashan and Carmel were as vineyards from which the fruit has failed, then the Lord arose. God is exalted in the midst of an afflicted people, for they seek his face and trust him. He is still more exalted when, in answer to their cries, he lifts up himself to deliver them and overthrow their enemies. Is it a day of sorrow with us? Let us expect to see the Lord glorified in our deliverance. Are we drawn out in fervent prayer? Do we cry day and night unto him? Then the set time for his grace is near. God will lift up himself at the right season. He will arise when it will be most for the display of his glory. We wish for his glory more than we long for our own deliverance. Let the Lord be exalted, and our chief desire is obtained. Lord, help us in such a way that we may see that thou thyself art working. May we magnify thee in our inmost souls. Make all around us to see how good and great a God thou art.
Amen. Jesus, Creator and Ruler of all, left heaven to die for me. Came to earth, laid aside heaven's throne in exchange for the cross of Calvary.
From time to time, here on Let the Bible Speak, we've called attention to Q&A with Alan Cairns. These are video clips of Dr. Cairns giving biblical answers to a variety of questions. These include such issues as, what is the gospel? Why did Christ have to be virgin-born? How do we know the Bible is the Word of God? What's wrong with same-sex marriage? In all, Dr. Cairns responds to over 50 such concerns. All of these video clips have been available on the LTBS radio website, but we are now making available a DVD containing all of these video portions, about 5 hours of guidance from God's Word for problems which face the 21st century Christian. You may have a copy of it free of charge simply by requesting it. You may email ltbs at freepres.org, that's ltbs at freepres.org, or you may write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Here's an excellent way to provide scriptural answers to family and friends regarding the challenging questions facing believers in this day. Ask for the DVD Q&A with Alan Cairns.
Thank you. is a need for faithful men. You look at America today, what is its greatest need? Its greatest need is a race of preachers on fire for God. A race of preachers who know God personally and have the power of the Holy Ghost in their ministries. A race of preachers who do not fear the face of man, who can go out across this nation and endure hardship as good soldiers of Jesus Christ. We need a new race of pioneers. Many a time when we're driving through the country, we'd look out there and say, when you look at the forest, you look at the terrain, what kind of men must the early pioneers have been? What indomitable spirit they showed. I think of people who came not to make themselves rich, not to get a new inheritance for their children just, but they came to evangelize those who settled this country. I think of preachers who wore themselves to death for little of this world's goods. They tramped the forest trails to get from New England down to South Carolina. They may take a hazardous 3, 4, or 5 week boat journey just to go and preach the gospel. I want to tell you, it's that kind of pioneering spirit we will need again today. We need a race of young men who have died to the world, died to its claims, died to its attractions, and who are ready and willing to serve our God, whatever the cost. There is the need for a new generation of preachers. I pray that God will raise them. Some of you in this very congregation, you're coming to that time in life when life opens up before you. You're going to be deciding what you ought to do and where you ought to go and what you must be. My friend, before you reach any decisions, young fellow, before you reach any decisions, you set aside times of prayer and fasting and get alone with God over the open page of God's Word, and you wait and you wait and you ask directions and you give your life into the hand of your Savior who gave His life for you, and find out the will of God and then go and do it, no matter what the cost may be. That's the need that the church has at this time. If God raises up faithful men, then God has a great future for the church. When the Lord does not raise up faithful men, then no matter what the church has by way of buildings, by way of income, by way of influence, it has no future without men called of God and filled by God's Spirit for the work of the gospel. So that's the need. The second thing we'll notice is the duty of faithful ministers is solemn. Now, you could preach verse by verse through 2 Timothy proving this point. But there are three things that I'll say to sum all this up. First of all, they must prove the gospel. Second, they must preach the gospel. And third, they must preserve the gospel. That's the duty of the Christian minister. First, the Christian minister must prove the gospel. I've already read to you from chapter 1. Let's go back to verse 11. Paul says, I'm appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. For the which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless I'm not ashamed. Why? Because I know whom I have believed. I know whom I have believed. I am persuaded that He is able to keep what I have committed unto Him against that day. Paul says, I am certain of some things. The truth of God has so gripped my heart that it has made me absolutely assured. You see, Paul had a personal experience of Jesus Christ, and he preached out of experience. There's an old truth. I'm sure you'll remember your science teacher drumming it into your head that water can never rise above the level of its own source. Unless you pump it, of course. It can never do it. Now, the preacher is not really the source of truth in the congregation, but he is God's servant to bring that truth. And it is usually true that the level of spiritual life in a congregation will not exceed the level of spiritual life in the minister. A dead minister has a deadening effect. And if the church is a living church, it either gets him alive or gets rid of him, because he'll deaden and he'll kill off the work of God in that place. It's happened again and again. A minister who's only preaching theory, a preacher who's getting his sermons out of books and he's telling you what other people think and what other people say, and that's all he has to say, is no minister of Jesus Christ. He must have a personal, proven experience of God's grace. I've often quoted to you the words of Thomas Carlyle to the new minister in his district. And I quote them regularly because, first of all, I need to know them. And I think that you need to know them. And the young preacher came to him and asked him, "What does this parish most need?" His answer was, "Sir, this parish most needs a man who knows God other than by hearsay. This church needs a minister who knows God other than by hearsay. America needs ministers who know God other than by hearsay. The minister must prove the gospel in his personal experience. Then he must preach it." We have read today in chapter 4 where Paul says, "I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus." Verse 2, preach the word. Preach the word. Now see the context in which Paul gives this statement. Verse 15 says, from a child of chapter 3, verse 15, "From a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for reproof," etc. Now then, he says, preach the word. It's inspired. So preach it. When I look at what preachers are preaching these days, when I listen going along in the car to some preacher on the radio, I have to be honest, when I'm at home, I would never think of listening to the most of them. But when I'm traveling, very often I'll listen for a preacher in the radio. And I hear what they're saying. The sort of foolish nonsense, or the inconsequential things that they're talking about. I wonder what on earth they think their job is. We have an inspired book. Paul says this is inspired. It's a God-breathed book. It's a living book. Therefore, preach it. Preach the word. Don't merely preach around about the word. Expound the word. That's what Paul's telling this young preacher. Be a man who can get into this word. Don't be afraid of the word. So many preachers in their dead scared to let the Bible speak for itself. Might end up being a Calvinist if they let the Bible talk for itself. Of course, that's blasphemous. Paul wasn't a Calvinist. Calvin was a Paulist. It's the proper way. And if you want to bring it right back, he wasn't even a Paulist, he was just a Christian. But so many people are dead scared to come to the Word. I think I told you of hearing a preacher on radio not very long ago, and he was preaching powerfully through Ephesians chapter 1. There he was. I couldn't believe this particular preacher. There he was preaching about election. I said, "Man, this fellow's getting into liberty." He's really learned something. And then he went even further and he talked about predestination. Well, you couldn't read Ephesians 1 without doing that, could you? And then the very next sentence, as soon as he had got to election and predestination, he said, and here he departed from Ephesians, didn't quote a verse of scripture, God chose us all at Calvary. Everybody in the world, he chose us all at Calvary. And it's now up to us whether we endorse the choice of God or whether we reject the choice of God. You know, why bother to take a text from the Bible? Why bother with Ephesians chapter 1 at all if you're afraid of what it says? There's a book, and from Genesis chapter 1 to Revelation chapter 22, while I don't understand everything that's in it, I'm ready to accept anything and everything that anybody can establish in my mind is taught by that book. I don't fear anything in the Bible. It's true. It's inspired. So preach it. That's what Paul says. Because this alone can make men wise unto salvation. I would to God that we had always remembered that. There's a place, for example, for illustration in preaching. Must be honest, I don't use an awful lot of illustration, story illustration. That's a weakness in my preaching, I suppose, and it simply says I don't have a great imagination. But I think it's also a reaction to what has happened, that the illustration has become the sermon. And sermons now are just usually a stringing together of little stories that will make you laugh and cry at the right time and then produce the same, the right knee-jerk reaction that the preacher was. An illustration, Spurgeon said, is to be like a light, or should I say a window, that lets light into a building. The sermon is the building. The illustration is the window. I think that there are an awful lot of people in sermon construction who are trying to do what Mr. Schuller has done out in California and build a crystal cathedral, and with the same kind of dumb results. You take gospel tracts. Again, people have been often blessed with a testimony and an illustration. But for years, gospel tracts have been nothing but little stories. And the tragedy is that in the late 20th century, they're usually the little stories from the 17th and 18th centuries. And the man on the street looks at it and says, I have no relationship to that whatsoever. I mean, you go to some child in the inner city, in the grinding poverty, faced with the violence and the drugs, and you give him a little story of somebody that he will look on as some little goody two-shoes from some English aristocratic background, and it means nothing to him. God can bless an illustration. But what he's promised to bless is his word. Preach the word. Expound the word. Give them the word.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.